Welcome to Vigilante News Press Radio, where we are tired of government corruption, the UN infiltration of our U.S. sovereignty, horse prostitute media corruption, secret globalist meetings, and the perversion of our local justice system. We will expose you, every single one of you. If you're wondering what we're about, well, when authoritarians pretend they are pious and revel in the nitpicky control freak power trips which they like to impose onto the public, while they themselves are morally defunct and in secret are vile creatures swimming around in a cesspit of scum and regurgitated pig vomit, we need to expose them. And you can help us expose them by becoming the new media, the new press. It is time we become the mainstream, because the old mainstream can no longer be trusted. Anyways, today is the 12th of February, 2013. This is the 26th edition. If you would like to download this podcast, go to VigilanteNewsPress.com and click on Podcasts. That is VigilanteNewsPress.com and click on Podcasts. Also, we encourage you to get active in our forum and to become an active vigilante member of our press by exposing all the workers of iniquity in your area. Anyways, I want to thank you for tuning in. I am your host, Shalomiel. If you have any feedback or comments or would like to be a guest, just email us at VigilanteNewsPress@yahoo.com. That is VigilanteNewsPress@yesyahoo.com. Also, let us know if you'd like to be a co-host or whatever. If you got any information leading to anything. Well, not only is it in recent news, well, aside from the Pope stepping down or resigning, which I believe is not for scandal-based reasons, which he should step down because of those scandals that are occurring in the church right now. However, I believe it is because of religious reasons. And I think it is no coincidence that it's the year of the serpent and all the Illuminatus are all hopping around with the Freemasons saying, "This is the Luciferian age," and all cheering and all that stuff. I think it's no coincidence that he's stepping down right now, and it's probably to have a different pope pop up, possibly the false prophet himself. But anyways, I don't understand the high pagan priesthood, or as Messiah mocks in Revelations, the depths of Satan. I don't understand all the details. That's why they are high priests and not me of the pagan religion. Nor would I want to be that, but I'm just saying. There's, you know, I know enough to see danger and warn people, say, hey, you know, how is this godly? But anyways, yeah, getting off topic here. Also, in the news, libs cheer on pro-Obama cop killer as he goes around and kills cops. Everybody's going, yay, we're authoritarian dirtbags, and we love it when somebody kills people. That's what the libs are doing. It's very sad and it's very pathetic, and it's just how they are. I don't know what else to say about that, you know. I don't know what to do with people like that. Anyways, in recent news, one of this nation's most despicable trash bags, aside from this guy, is Eric Holder, who should be tried for treason, or at least for murder because of his involvement with Fast and Furious. But instead, they let this commie redcoat keep his position as they give this wolf full world press, as he slips on his sheep's gown and proclaims his heartfelt man cries for gun control. I mean, Eric Holder, you are a criminal. You're a criminal, Eric Holder. What are you telling us, who keep the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, what to do when you have violated it? You are a treasonous violator of this nation's founding principles and laws and rules. You are truly an enemy of the state. And you can, and it's guys like this that write these unlawful laws that are treasonous too against the Constitution. You need to amend the Constitution before you're able to enforce any of these things they're trying to enforce. They're doing it unlawfully. I don't understand what people don't understand about unlawful laws. When trash bags like this go go in your face and tell you that you're a piece of junk and that you're trash when they're breaking the law. They're trash bags. They're junk. They need to go to jail. Eric Holder, you need to go to jail. I wish people would drag this guy into a jail and so he can go to court for treason. I don't know if that requires a court martial or if you can do that in regular courts, but anyways, aside from that, he's a dirtbag. We need to get this guy in jail. We need to get him in jail. Having him step down from his position should have been done a long time ago. Long time ago. He has shown absolutely no remorse for his crimes. He has actually shown pride and arrogance, which I think that deserves him being shown before all the public that is not tolerated. He needs to be made an example of. We need to make an example of this guy. The U.S. body needs to make an example of this guy, this traitor, this treasonous man. But anyways, this week's onslaught of celebutants and stars came out again this week. They change them up every week. You know, they had their stars the week before, and then they debate as new stars come out and side with the state, with the bootlickers, and tell you that you're bad for not joining them and their attitude to lick boots. But anyways, Tony Bennett came out last week attempting with his senile dementia-ridden rhetoric to make gun owners equal with Nazis. I mean, he didn't know what he was talking about, so I'm glad Tony Bennett made an absolute fool out of himself. I mean, he knows a lot about drunken debauchery, maybe orgies, maybe, I don't know, drugs, singing, of course. But he obviously don't know much about history. And the sad thing about that is he lived in that era, too. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. But also, we should also make note of the brave bootlickings of Chris Rock, who you can always count on for acting brave behind his coward's pulpit of comedy. But when criticized or confronted in person, he cries out, "I was just kidding! I was just kidding! Lighten up! I was just kidding!" That's a coward's pulpit. That's what these guys do. They stand, when they're on stage, they're surrounded by security guards. They're surrounded by fans that worship him like he's God. No idiot's going to come out there and say, you're lying, man! He's going to get punched in the face. You know, people aren't that stupid. But when he's away from all that, and somebody comes at him with truth, he's a coward. They're cowards. That's what they do. But anyways, he came out telling everybody that Obama is our boss and our dad. I mean, sheesh. I mean, don't people have a backbone anymore? I mean, if you got millions of dollars in the bank, can't you just walk up to somebody trashing the economy and say, "Hey, you know, you're really screwing things up. You're a piece of garbage. Why don't you get out of that position you're in?" You know, why don't people do that? I would love somebody to get in, you know, arrogant Obama invites somebody into his Oval Office and he thinks he's all chummy with them and everything, and they walk up to him in his face and say, "You know, you're a piece of crap. You're really screwing up this nation." I would love to see that. But say, you can't expect it from people like this who their entire job is to work behind the coward's pulpit, which is comedy. So I wouldn't expect it from such people. But the dad thing really, really brought up memories of propaganda pushed by murderous communist cult-like people trying to push Stalin in Russia. I mean, they were calling him dad all the time. But it's these people are just all freaky. And also, we want to make note of Jim Carrey, who also came out saying that gun owners' lives are not worth protecting. Another coward. He uses that comedian's pulpit, too. He has bodyguards. He's a coward. I mean, that's what these guys are. They're cowards. You can't come at them with truth. They'll just walk away. At best, they'll walk away. You know, they can't fight you with logic. Anyways, also, Stephen Colbert, who pretends he is a conservative, he was caught hanging out and affectionately mingling with well-known DNC members. I mean, people, these guys in the media, they're not your leaders. And they're not put there to lead you into any battle. They are there for only one reason, to do their job, which is to manipulate you. And to manipulate you out of any needed battle. The whole system is set up so that you lay down in grief and frustration. Don't let these paid-for fools tell you that a tyrant is your dad or boss, or that they are on your side when they obviously are not. They're always backstabbing you. And most definitely, do not let them convince you that you are a Nazi for having a gun. They are the Nazis for trying to take your guns. Don't let them tell you that you're a bad person for owning a gun. They're bad. They don't even understand the constitution of the nation which they live in. I mean, they might as well be French. They might as well be French immigrants. Because they don't know nothing about the country they live in. They don't know nothing about the soldiers that really do fight to keep their oath to protect the Constitution and its principles from enemies foreign and domestic. They have no respect for them in stuff like this. You know? There are soldiers out there fighting. I'm not saying all soldiers are godly people. Some out there just are as simple as, I like shooting, I like to keep my guns. Some foreign invader wants to try to take them, I'm going to fight to protect that. So there's guys like that out there that's just a bold-faced, disrespectful behavior toward. Anyways, don't people have a backbone anymore? I mean, sheesh. Well, I mean, what happened to the days where people didn't care if they got thrown in jail for a week? And I'm saying this because I keep running into people that keep acknowledging unlawful laws. I mean, the Second Amendment is your right to carry. With the Second Amendment, you don't have... There is no reason for any cop to throw you in jail. You can win in court. You can really win in court. Unless, you know, you don't, and you get thrown in jail. But what if everybody did it? You know, are you going to throw everybody in jail? Oh, no, we'll just henpeck the few who do, and that's encouraging other people to do it, and tell them that they're bad because, you know, their behavior affects their family. This is just pathetic, and that's what cowards do. We're not here to preserve cowards. We're here to preserve principle and truth. We're here to preserve right ruling and justice. We're not here to preserve tyranny. We're here to preserve justice and the Constitution and inalienable rights for every American. We're supposed to show the hypocrites who they are. They're hypocrites. We're supposed to expose these liars for who they are. They are liars and cowards. They are robbers and thieves. Why are people bending over backwards to lick their boot? They're in the wrong. Everybody needs to stand up against these wicked men. You give voice to the wicked, they'll keep talking. And pretty soon, they don't just want to speak, they want to start taking everything over. That's the motivation of the wicked. That's why the Bible says give no voice to the wicked. You hear a wicked man starting to talk, shut him down. Shut him down. Of course they're going to be manipulative and lie about how evil you are for telling them to shut up. Just remind them that they're wicked. I mean, how hard is that? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm bad for not letting you talk. But you like to kill babies and you think death panels are okay. Okay, shut up. Get out of here. We don't listen to murderers and eugenicists. Get out. Go. I mean, that should be our tolerance right there. But anyways, I just want, what's up with all this bootlicking? I mean, what happened to the old patriot cry of this nation's founders, where they said, don't tread on me, don't tread on me? Where they said, I have no king but King Jesus. I don't have to listen to no rules of no tyrant. I'm principled. I follow God's laws. Your laws mean nothing to me. The president is not supposed to be a king. The president is supposed to enforce laws of civility. He's not a king. He has never been a king. I don't understand these executive orders. I don't understand this congressional law that is not amended to the Constitution. If it's in violation of the Constitution and it's not amended to the Constitution, then it's a violation of the law, and they are guilty of a crime, and they need to answer for it. And I'm tired of them getting away with it. Anyways, we need to move on to our news here. So here's our first headline. RTNews.com. Major U.S. newspapers admit to honoring CIA demands as incoming CIA chief John Brennan prepares to answer questions from Congress. Some of the biggest names in U.S. media are under attack for hiding a secret drone base that the Obama nominee helped build. Reports in the New York Times and Washington Post this week confirm that the United States Central Intelligence Agency, which Brennan might very soon head, established a top-secret launching pad in Saudi Arabia used to send American drones to Yemen. From that elusive fort, the Obama administration gave the go-ahead for an unmanned aerial vehicle to travel into Yemen only months after the base was built in order to kill U.S. citizen and suspected Al-Qaeda operative Anwar al-Awlaki. Over a year later, the September 2011 death of al-Awlaki remains an issue of debate and is expected to take center stage during Thursday afternoon's confirmation hearing of Mr. Brennan, who will take the helm of the CIA if Congress approves of his testimony on the Hill. But while lawmakers are expected to offer hard-hitting questions regarding Brennan's role in the administration's drone program, U.S. media is being attacked as well. Albeit the critics who condone the fact that the fourth estate, by and large, left America in the dark about an important aspect of the country's foreign policy, quote, it's been an open secret that it was there, unquote, one former national security official says of the base to ABC News on condition of anonymity this week, despite having been identified by members of the press as early as 2011. The Saudi drone base has been left largely unreported by the U.S. media until now. Just this week, the Post and Times both admitted that they were aware of the facility all along, but complied with the CIA request to withhold this information. I mean, you know, this is just more proof as to why we started VigilanteNewsPress.com, and we made all the media sources, and I felt led to start a podcast in the first place, that you can't trust the mainstream media anymore. They are not your friends. They're agents of the government. And if they are not agents of the government, they sure as heck will bend over backwards to lick their boots. And that, you know, you must become the new media. That's one of the key things Vigilante News Press tries to push, that we are the media. And not just we at Vigilante News Press, you are. You are. We need to start a new media. The old media has completely sold out this nation, and it's fallen completely to corruption. And it works for government and corporate interests, and it's not working toward the interests to truthfully inform you. It's mostly there to indoctrinate you in lies, so you understand a false narrative, so the crooks can get away with still being crooks. So the criminals can keep being criminals. And that's what they're preserving. They're perverting justice, and they're not doing their job. We need to become the new press. We need to start our own newspapers. We all got printers. We all got email. We don't even need ink anymore. We can all publish things through email and start, you know, encouraging people to create a false email and start taking their email more seriously. Send them newsletters. I don't know, whatever you want to do. Anyways, move on to the next headline here, which it says, I don't even know where it's from. I guess I forgot to put it down, but anyways, Obama Interior Secretary nominee firm got Obamacare waiver. And it says, revelations have come out today that Sally Jewell, President Obama's nominee for Interior Secretary, received an Obamacare waiver from her company's firm. This comes from as pro-life groups and religious organizations are unable to get a broad conscience exemption from the Obama administration to opt out of the HHS mandate that compels them to pay for birth control and drugs that may cause abortions. Now, I remember where this came from. This came from prolife.com or life.com. I'm sorry. It's a good pro-life website. Anyways, it continues to say, as the Washington Examiner reports, the controversial waivers were issued to select companies after Obama's health care reform bill passed in 2008, temporarily excusing them from the Obamacare health insurance mandates. As Michelle Malkin noted in her May 2011 column, Jewell participated in an Obamacare administration roundtable in 2009 to talk about the benefits of health care reform. After the roundtable meeting, President Obama praised the REI health plan for covering both part-time and full-time employees. Every single employee is covered, but part of the reason they're able to do it is because they put a big emphasis on prevention and wellness, Obama explained during his remarks. Now, if these Christian companies offered the same thing, they would still try to force them under Obamacare. This is just complete hypocrisy. But yes, you get that if you're a slave. You know, if you're not one of Obama's close minions or an elitist that's above Obama, that's using him as a puppet, you're a slave. Obamacare is for you. And that was the plan all along, to passively claim ownership and control of your body through the mandate of state-run health care. They want to own you. And it's so sad because I don't think people understand that. I mean, how do they own you, you ask? Well, maybe you eat too much, or not enough, or not the way you like, or they like, or recommend. Or maybe you shouldn't smoke or drink, or maybe it hurts your mental health to be a Christian or a conservative. Now, I'm not saying these things are regulated yet, but because of you being signed on or signed over to state-run health care, now they're able to put this stuff up on the floor for debate, which is not good. And again, it just gives them... I'm glad they're all doing this stuff unlawfully, with unlawful laws, without amending the Constitution. Let me remind you, people out there that are pretending to be conservatives, pretending to be Tea Parties, keep pushing for amending the Constitution. Don't let them. That's a trick. Don't fall for it. Things are good the way they are. You read the Constitution, there's nothing in there that... See, they're bringing in outside influences to pervert the Constitution. They have to bring in things and say, oh, this was their intent, and kind of try to attach that. And they do it out of context on a lot of things. So, trust me, don't go along with those amend the Constitution people. Those people are don't understand what's going on right now. That's a trick. Don't let them do it. But anyways, it's not good for the government to have control over your body. It's not. But at least they're doing it unlawfully. So if people would uprise and throw these jerks in jail, well, then it's not a problem. You know, but anyways. To our next headline here, which is from, I think, Breitbart. I've done a horrible job of making sure the authors of these articles are on here. But anyways, aside from that, Nobel Prize winning economist says pay for health care with death panels. And it goes on to say New York Times columnist and Nobel Prize winning economist Krugman spoke at a synagogue in Washington, D.C. recently. In the question and answer period, he responded to a question about the national debt and whether or not there will be a moment when it becomes too big. He said that although there is no immediate cause for alarm, it will eventually become a problem, maybe in the next 15 to 20 years, because we have an aging population, the health care costs are rising. The programs that are meant to pay for people's health care will have to be funded by additional revenue, such as higher taxes on the middle class. He's referring to the unified liabilities that are likely to be nearly $100 trillion. Quote, something's going to have to give, he said. And in a rare glimpse of candor, Krugman appealed to a more, quote, progressive way of keeping health care costs down. Quote, we won't be able to pay for the kind of government the society wants without some increase in taxes on the middle class. Maybe a value-added tax, and we're also going to have to make decisions about health care, not pay for health care that has no demonstrated medical benefits. So the snarky version, which I shouldn't even say because it will get me in trouble, is death panels and sales taxes is how we do this, unquote. So anyways, you know that anyone or anything that has been endorsed by the Nobel Peace Prize organization is, at least in recent years, the ones that they've elected, is about they're about as reliable as any, I don't know, electronic device or knickknack that you can buy from, with the endorsement made in China on it. I mean, it's just like all things made in China, that it, when they seem like they work at first and about after a week or so, the motor burns out or a vital part breaks off and it stumps it from operating correctly. I mean, just so does these Nobel Peace Prize board seemingly emulate in their endorsements, who has obviously been taken over by globalists, eugenicists, and Agenda 21 sustainable living promoters. These dirtbags make sure to only award their own. They do it in such a way to where they look good on the surface as they overly report their goodness through their media, and then later down the road they side with globalists, eugenicists, and mass murder warmongering. It's just like they create your heroes for you only to make them cheerleaders for your enemies. I mean, I don't know how many childhood heroes from my past prefer to knife our Constitution in the back. And the odds that all these people think the same way, it's just impossible. The system has to be rigged. It's an obvious rigging of the system. They choose your leaders. They promote them. They say, oh, this guy's great. He's helped a bunch of people. And then he works later down the road to say, hey, you know, I like those people out there that are trying to kill you. You know, I agree with those people that think you should live in a box and eat oatmeal every day. And just that. It's just how these people work. Anyways, to the next headline here. All right, our next headline here is from naturalnews.com. says FDA approves first GMO flu vaccine containing reprogrammed insect virus. And it goes on to say a new vaccine for influenza has hit the market, and it is the first ever to contain genetically modified GM proteins derived from insect cells, according to reports. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, apparently recently approved the vaccine known as Flublok, which contains recumbent DNA technology and as insect virus known as Barkulovirus, that is purported to help facilitate a more rapid production of vaccines. It goes on here to say that it gives you GBS, which is Guillain-Barré syndrome, and also that people died in its trials. But the FDA thinks it's great. They just you know, go ahead. Food and Drug Administration just loves it. Anyways, that's what the story goes on to say. I didn't want to get into all the reading there. A lot of medical terms, which I'm not very good at pronouncing. So, anyways, you just got to watch out for that. Not only is it unkosher, and I understand not everybody's religious and not everybody's so uptight about unkosher, it being insect, and also on top of that being GM, which is a big, huge debate as to cleanness and injecting unclean stuff in your veins. But as I said, aside from that, vaccines are just horrible for you. I mean, a lot of them deplete you of your nutrients. They cause your brain to swell. I mean, they cause all kinds of arteries to swell. I really think the whole vaccine thing is a part of Agenda 21, because none of these flu vaccines they've been reported that they haven't even guessed one right yet. That they haven't helped anybody not get the flu. As a matter of fact, more people that get these vaccines end up getting the flu. And you know what? That's not good when you're old. And guess who they push this on? Old people. And babies, too. You know, these eugenicists attack from both ends. They attack the elderly, and they attack the unborn and the infants. They go after babies too that have been born. That's their goal. That's what they like to do. They like killing babies and old people. So, but you who are suckered into taking it, what it does is it does slowly damage your brain and your arteries, and it depletes your body of nutrients, so you don't think very well. It lowers your IQ, and it makes you a great work slave. I mean, these globalists love obedient, bootlicking work slaves. I mean, you just go to work, pay taxes, and complain that about anything that requires a couple extra IQ points to you know. That's what they want. Anyways, I don't want to get into too much of that. I got other articles here. Our next headline is from PackAlertPress.com. Monsanto formally joins Global Agenda 21 front group. And it goes on to say, the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, WBCSD, has put out a press release announcing that Monsanto has joined the effort for, quote, global sustainable development, unquote. The council consists of several global mega corporations such as Dutch Royal Shell and Coca-Cola, to mention just a few. The press release notes that by joining the council, quote, Monsanto is taking an important step along a continuum towards developing a more sustainable agriculture system, one that improves our daily lives, respects our global environment, and recognizes the importance of the world's smallholder farmers, unquote. President of the WBCSD, Peter Baker, which you should make note of that name and call him if you know his number, stated that a, quote, future vision, unquote, is required to move, quote, to protect soil, enhance ecosystems, and optimize land use in ways that are environmentally sound, which translates to mean, I don't want you touching land, and you farmers, you farm where we tell you to. Anyways, it goes, another quote here. It says, we must move towards a future vision for agriculture where absolutes become as out of place as a one-size-fits-all approach to farming. Now, well, he translated it himself there. Jerry Steiner, Executive Vice President, Sustainability and Corporate Affairs at Monsanto, said, quote, we are excited to join the WBCSD and connect with a global coalition of more than 200 companies that advocate for progress on sustainable development, unquote. That's Monsanto there, the farmer's best friend demonic entity that is slowly killing them. I don't even know why farmers put up with these guys. You see Monsanto on a product, throw it away. Quit using them. I don't understand why you farmers out there are not boycotting these guys. You guys aren't stupid. Matter of fact, you guys eat better than most people, have more nutrients, and are far more healthy, and you have an IQ. Why aren't you doing something about this? Do you like feeding people crap? I mean, isn't it getting on your conscience? Stop giving these guys what they want. I mean, some of it ain't your guys, all the farmers' fault. I ain't gonna sit here and get on a tangent blaming farmers here. It's, you know, it's corporate entities like Monsanto. And yes, I believe they are a agent of the government. You know, they are an agent of global governments. And that this was as people are getting closer to exposing Monsanto, because a lot of people are exposing them piece by piece, and they're really nailing them lately, and they probably already exposed them for that. But now that they've made this public announcement, now it kind of nullifies the secrecy. You know, that's just how things work. But you know, this is all a calculated move. Everybody knows that Monsanto is all for eugenics. They're all about Agenda 21. They're all about putting poisons in food and telling you it's good. They're all about just horrible things. Horrible things. But they think it's okay because they can trick you into killing yourself. Especially your kids. You know, them sugar cereals. Anything. It's all got high fructose corn syrup in it. Which is highly concentrated poison. And your kids are eating it. Eating tons of it. They're eating tons of aspartame. Which you know that some of the ingredients in aspartame are some of the same ingredients found in methamphetamines. You know that Desert Storm syndrome was caused by overheating of diet beverages, and it caused the wood alcohol to separate from the aspartame chemical compound, and it's separated, and a lot of them guys were drinking Pepsi like crazy because it's really hot out there. They were keeping these diet beverages in containers, and if you ever seen a container, it's made out of steel, and driving around the desert with the steel container, them things got really hot. So it separated a lot of chemicals. Also, the BPA that was in the bottles, they were probably drinking a ton of that too. So I'm sure that was also hurting them. But they found that a lot of those people that suffered Desert Storm syndrome, that their brains were eaten away, and it was from the wood alcohol found in aspartame that separated from its molecular bond. I guess it's mildly safe to drink it like that. But when heated, and if you ever, I drive a truck for a living. I tell you right now that them trailers during the summer, they're not air conditioned. It gets just as hot in a lot of places. So them diet beverages coming to your store, there's a good chance that the same beverages that them guys were drinking in Desert Storm, which was the Kuwait War, or first Desert Storm War, that the same diet beverages that they were drinking that had that same series of events happens to deteriorate their brain, that you're drinking the same beverages. And, you know, it's just, nobody cares. You're drinking that crap, and nobody warns you about it. And a lot of people that drink it, you're so addicted to it, you don't want to be warned. Well, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to love smoking cigarettes, you know? And people told me it was bad. But I wanted those people to sit there and get angry at them for telling me smoking was bad. I actually enjoyed that they told me it was bad. And I continued smoking for quite a while after that. But why get angry at somebody for telling you the truth? I mean, sheesh. It don't make sense. Anyways, I'm rambling here. We'll move to the next headline here, which is from World News Daily. Parents gain access to secret school curriculum. And it goes on to say, from Austin, Texas, parents of school children across Texas now are gaining access to a previously secret public school curriculum, according to an announcement from a state lawmaker. The CSCOPE or CSCOPE program, an online offering that until now was prohibited under penalty of law, teachers from sharing the lessons with parents stirred up controversy because of its various lessons, some that were taken offline after questions arose about them. Among those issues were that the curriculum at one point taught the Boston Tea Party was an act of terrorism, and Christians were cannibals, and forced students to draw a socialist flag while imagining a new socialist country. Teachers also would have been exposed to a criminal amount of penalties for sharing CSCOPE lesson content with parents, and educators were required to teach strictly from the CSCOPE lesson plan without additions or changes. But Senator Dan Patrick, Republican of Houston, whose state Senate Education Committee held a public hearing last week investigating CSCOPE, said there now have been significant changes. and it goes on to a list of things that they will now allow parts of the program to be exposed. I don't know. I've been hearing complaints about this program for a long time. And, you know, they will indoctrinate your children whether you like it or not. And they will throw teachers in jail that don't have a backbone. Or the ones that do have a backbone, they'll throw them in jail, and the ones that don't have a backbone will watch them get thrown in jail. And the people that see them get thrown in jail won't do nothing about it either, because they don't have a backbone. I don't understand. If you're a teacher and they give you this stuff and you teach it, I mean, what's the matter with you? I mean, seriously, what is the matter with you? You read your program and you're like, you have to read it. There's no question as to the filtering system of propaganda pushed onto a teacher, and then the teacher pushes it on the students. Otherwise, there wouldn't be nothing that they could sue the teachers for. The teachers get it off the internet, and the teachers spew it out. You know, it's crazy. Now, the story does go into more detail, listing the quote secret curriculum. Well, it was nothing more than a Hitler Youth-like indoctrination, like pushing the Muslim and Wicca faith and denouncing Christians as cultists and cannibals, also pushing doctrines of communism and socialism. So apparently if the government indoctrination camps called, quote, public schools can't get you to accept this disgusting and distorted worldview, that they just now enforce it in its teaching secretly. With spineless teachers. Ever hear someone tell you, quit trying to shove your Christianity down our kids' throat? Well, apparently, as evidence of this type of indoctrination, it's showing up all over the United States that they were not saying that out of concern. They just didn't want any competition. They're shoving their beliefs and behaviors down their kids' throat. Yeah, you ever have somebody, well, like a hipster, come out there? It's like you say anything more than a sentence, they're like, dude, why are you shoving your philosophy down my throat? I mean, Okay, I was trying to educate you. I'm sorry. I'll let you remain stupid. Okay, be stupid. Take off. You know? These people are comical. I don't understand people that get upset by people trying to help educate your children. You know, they take time aside and they do things like this. And just people that love to complain just come in and say, hey, you know, it's just pathetic. Anyways, don't put your kids in these horrible places. I think we should do away with the public school systems altogether. And I guarantee the churches all around the United States would gladly take over the responsibility where it's needed. I mean, also the proper answer to irresponsible parents who do not educate their children should have never been forced regulations to place your children into government schools or government mine programs. The answer is so simple, but you know, they don't want that. How are they going to control anybody with that answer? They're going to promote a goody-goody answer and give you a bad savior. I don't know how else to put it right now. But anyways, the solution to bad parents would be to require annual state testing. Oh, why didn't they think of that? Annual state testing. That way, a child's education could be enforced without the taxpayer burdens or the burdens of the sickening government-supported child indoctrination. I mean, don't ever say I'm not a person of solutions. I got plenty of solutions. I'm not just a guy sitting here complaining in outrage about this stuff, trying to expose this wickedness. I got solutions, and I got plenty of them. And a lot of people got solutions. They just don't get out there. I mean, you pay a fortune on public education and just to get a horrible product. You know, there should be a standard test, a standard requirement for kids, because there are lazy homeschoolers out there. There's homeschooling parents out there that are not doing their job. And if they're too busy working to educate their children, well, fine. Give them a fine. it's going to cost them work to let their children be dumb. Well, we're running a little low on fuel when it comes to time here, so I want to start ending the show. But anyways, I'm going to make a quick note that we're not going to end the show like we normally do. We're going to play the exit outro as normal, but after that, I'm going to play an Australian politician, Anne Bressington, as she exposes how Agenda 21 measures have crept up and now is almost completely taken over Australia. So I'm playing that so you can see a nation in shambles. I mean, they're trying to take away just single-shot guns right now. They have their authoritarians all running around like crazy over there, making people do... I mean, they killed the real Crocodile Dundee. They tried to take away his guns. I mean, sheesh, come on now. Things are bad. Things are bad in Australia. And they really want to fix it, but I don't know if it's too late. I really don't know if it's too late. Anyways, I'm playing that so we know that they're coming up close to us, too. You know, Australia is not that far from us. So, anyways, if you want to listen to it, it's there. If not, you know, there's the end of the show. You know, you don't have to listen to it. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed the show. And that's just all the time we have today. And I just want to thank you for your listenership. If you have any comments, questions, or whatever, please email us. If you want to just talk, hey, drop me a line. You can go to vigilantenewspress@yahoo.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. I love debating on Facebook because it's just, I'm always on the road, so it's easy for me to debate through Facebook from my phone. Other services is not so easy. But anyways, you can join the Planet InfoWars group. I always keep an eye on that for news sources. So if you got any information, go there. Or go to our forum. Join our forum. Our forum has just been refreshed It's a lot easier on the eyes. You can do articles that go on the internet now. It has an anonymous chat box. We were experiencing a lot of spam there, and I taken care of it by doing a little redneck rigging there, little Oki style. You just have to, after you register, go to the anonymous chat box over there and say hi or whatever you want to do, but also put your name that you registered with, and I'll approve your personality, and then you can get active on the forum with full access to do whatever. So, you know, except for administrative stuff. But anyways, I just want to thank you for listening, and I just want to remind you, get food, store water, store food, beans and rice are cheap. Keep that in mind. Anyways, take it easy. Y'all bless. Have a good week. I pray that nothing else goes wrong this week. You should too. Thank you. Take it easy. Bye. Your lives are so incomplete.
Peter and members of Flag Australia and myself are hearing on a regular basis about the pressure that our farmers and food producers are under. But let me just make the point that these policies come from a faraway place. And you're going to have to bear with me now for a few minutes while I read my speech. And I will read it because otherwise I'll be up here for hours. I get a bit carried away with this, so I've contained it to as smaller speech as I can do. But we are in trouble, and we all need to pull together on this. And first of all, I'd just like to thank people who have been supporting Flag Australia in their push to get this word out there. At Leon Biner on his Don't Sell Australia Short Facebook campaign, who has now over 7,500 members, all concerned about the same thing. Sean Perry from 5AA Talkback, who has allowed Peter and myself many, many times to go on there for hours at a time to get these issues aired and discussed. And we'll actually be having Lord Monckton on there tomorrow night from 7 o'clock till midnight, so that people can ring in, ask questions and have a discussion about this. So 5AA have been behind us, which is great. And also the Southern Argus newspaper. They have been so supportive of getting the message out there of the stress that our primary producers are under, and we really can't thank all of those people enough. So now I'll start to read. Again, thank you all for coming here today. I also thank the many people behind the scenes who have helped to educate me on the global issues and how they are being implemented at a state level so that I can be an effective elected member of your parliament. And while I'm speaking to you today, I'm going to quote a number of people from various influential positions on the international stage, and I'll leave it with you to make up your mind if you want to continue to head in the direction that we're going. I first stumbled across Agenda 21 in about 2008, and quite frankly, my first reaction was to dismiss what I was reading because I didn't believe that any government in Australia would take us down this road. Then I began to see a legislative pattern emerging in Parliament, which concerned me greatly, and I also started to see the tenor of legislation that we were passing. I did air those concerns in Parliament, and it was dismissed and ignored. The words, Agenda 21, ladies and gentlemen, were never meant to be spoken. And if they were, then of course it would be dismissed as a conspiracy theory. Because if people knew Agenda 21 and what it stood for, there's plenty of information out there where they could actually learn what the end game was, and governments didn't want that to be known. My dad always said to me that people only lie for two reasons. One reason is because you're ashamed of what you're doing, and the second reason is that you don't want people to be warned just before you screw them. And I honestly believe that these secrets have been, thank you, that these secrets have been kept for both of those reasons. Ladies and gentlemen, the origins of the environmental movement as we see it began back in 1968 when the Club of Rome was formed. The Club of Rome has been described as a crisis think tank which specialises in crisis creation. The main purpose of this think tank was to formulate a crisis that would unite the world and condition us to the idea of global solutions to local problems. In a document called The First Global Revolution, authored by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, on pages 104 and 105, it stated, "In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers, of course, will be caused by human intervention that will require a global response." That's the origin of global warming, ladies and gentlemen. In 1975, Australia agreed to bring in a new economic order via the Lima Declaration on the second conference of the United Nations Industrial Development Organisation. The outcome of this was, as I said, the Lima Declaration, which was a blueprint for the redeployment of tools, jobs and manufacturing to the developing nations, leaving countries like Australia short of technology, a manufacturing base and jobs. Blind Freddy can now see what the outcome of that has been for our country, with their unworkable trade and tariffs agreements hand in hand with this that have followed as a matter of course. This is now a reality with around 90% of our agriculture and manufacturing just gone. Australia signed the Lima Declaration and hundreds of others with the support of all major political players. Whitlam, Fraser, Hawke, Keating, Hewson, Howard, Rudd, the Democrats, the Greens, and even the Nationals. It has been put to me that all of these treaties were the foundation for the rollout of Agenda 21, and it seems that Australia has been moved around the global chessboard, and our so-called leaders were either complicit or naive to the long-term consequences. And now we're almost at checkmate. Sorry. In 1992, former President of the United States, George Bush Sr., said, "Effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This shift will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action will be integrated into individual and collective decision-making at every level. Cutting through the code, I want everyone to consider what the words profound reorientation of all human society and unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources actually means. For everyone here tonight not familiar with Agenda 21, I would suggest that this is the beginning of your learning curve, not the end. In 1992, Maurice Strong, Secretary General of the UN Earth Summit and member of the Club of Rome, said, "It is clear that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, consumption of large amounts of frozen and convenience foods, use of fossil fuels, ownership of motor vehicles, small electrical appliances, home and workplace air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable." Put those statements together with the previous one, and it must become clear that Agenda 21 is about controlling every aspect of our lives: how we eat, what we eat, how much we eat, how we move around, food production, the amount of food, and where we even live. Dixie Ray, former Washington State Governor and Assistant Secretary for Oceans and International Environmental and Scientific Affairs, stated, "Agenda 21 seeks to establish a mechanism for transferring the wealth from citizens to the third world. Fear of environmental crisis would be used to create a world government and UN central direction." From a report in the 1976 UN's Habitat One conference, "Land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset, controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, therefore contributes to social injustice." In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if you work hard and you exercise good financial management and invest in property, you are contributing to social injustice. In a report from the President's Council on Sustainable Development, "We need a new collaborative decision process that leads to better decisions, more rapid change, and more sensible use of human, natural, and financial resources in achieving our goals." And at the same time, Harvey Reuven, Vice Chair of the Wildlands Project, says, "Individual rights will have to take a back seat to the collective." J. Gary Lawrence, advisor to President Clinton's Council on Sustainable Development, "Participating in a UN-advocated planning process would very likely bring out many of the conspiracy-fixated groups and individuals in our society." And here we are. This segment of our society, who fear one world government and UN invasion, through which our individual freedoms will be stripped away, would actively work to defeat any elected official who joined the conspiracy by undertaking Agenda 21. So we will call our process something else. We will call it comprehensive planning or growth management or smart growth. We ended up with sustainable development. The redeployment of human and financial resources has now become visible to us all via the cut to services and programs to assist the sick, the young, the elderly, and of course the creation of another level of poverty now identified by the term the working poor. I was speaking to a person last week and he said to me, if Hitler was still around, he'd be sitting back thinking, I didn't need bullets for a global takeover. And he'd be right. We see daily cash grabbing via new taxes called levies, supposedly because we are cash strapped in this state, and at the same time see big project spending that does not fit with the message that we are in financial crisis, But we the people have to tighten our belt while the government seems absolutely unaware and unconcerned of the amount of debt that it is accumulating. This in turn means that taxes, levies, fines and other penalties increase, as well as the cost of living rising exponentially, and the ordinary citizen's ability to exist well is compromised with almost every law that we pass. We're constantly paying for so-called services that we don't receive. This is wealth redistribution at the grassroots level, redeployment of financial resources, ensuring only hardship for the citizens who just really want to get on with their lives. The Parliament has also ventured into the rights of people to own and retain their property and manage it without government interference. In particular, the laws around, as Peter said, water allocation, natural resource management, the Native Vegetation Act, Development and Planning Act, which are all equally toxic to our food producers as they are to our long-term security, we city dwellers. Everyone needs to remember, we all pay a natural resource management levy on our tax rates. So this is not just going to affect the food producers. The intrusions into our property that Peter was talking about that land producers are going through will roll out into the suburbs and into the city because they have the authority to do that. We all have already fiddled in Parliament with land titles of people in rural areas, and I'm talking about the Barossa and McLaren Vale legislation that passed. And the word used to the buzzwords used to justify that was heritage status. At the same time that our right to own and manage our land, have access to water, produce adequate food to ensure that our only option is not to consume often toxic and substandard food from places like China, this government has been working overtime to take away our rights to common law through many pieces of legislation. Common law is what guarantees us an ability to correct injustices. This coming year, I promise you, you will also hear debate over a number of pieces of legislation that will further erode our common law rights. And you have to get behind me on this, ladies and gentlemen, to stop this from going through. As Agenda 21 became more and more apparent to me, I began using the line in Parliament, the government was now declaring war on its own citizens. And that goes back as far as 2008. This, of course, led me to being labelled a conspiracy theorist. But here we are now, openly talking about Agenda 21 and the ramifications we will see in a short period of time if this is not stopped in its tracks. Let me just say that I often hear we cannot stop what is happening. Two-party preferred system, vote Labor, vote Liberal, what does it matter? And in fact, that's probably true for the House of Assembly, because that's where government's formed. But ladies and gentlemen, here in South Australia, we have the Legislative Council, the House of Review. And my friends, that is where the true power does lie. And the last thing that governments want you to understand is that no matter who is in power, the Legislative Council is there for checks and balances. And when the Legislative Council isn't overly influenced by the major parties, legislation can be blocked. Remember, on most of these policies that I've spoken about here today, there has been bipartisan support for everything that has gone through. When the major parties join together, then the crossbenchers and minor parties, basically our vote is null and void. The way to avoid that is to make sure that when the major parties do join together, they don't have the numbers. For way too long now, we the people have been asleep at the wheel, and it is time to wake up and participate in the democratic process. And to do that, you need to understand the parliamentary and political system that you are trying to rein in. In 1972, the Club of Rome published the alarmist Limits to Growth document, warning of worldwide overpopulation, the need for sustainable development. This was the beginning of the slow process of social engineering and programming people to accept that the planet is struggling to sustain life. On the 8th of October 1973, the New York Times reported a quote from Ted Turner, also Club of Rome. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. In 1987, Mikhail Gorbachev, also a member of Club of Rome, said, "We are moving toward a new world order, the world of communism, and we shall never turn off that road." He also quoted in 1996 Monetary and Economic Review on page 5, "The environmental crisis will be the international disaster that will unlock the new world order, one world government." In 1992 came the Earth Summit, which produced the document called the Earth Charter. This document was co-written by Maurice Strong, long-time globalist, elitist, member of Club of Rome, and Mikhail Gorbachev. Both Strong and Gorbachev stated that it was hoped that this document would be adopted as the new Ten Commandments, with environmentalism as the new one world religion. Out of this summit came Agenda 21. Ted Turner, who was also a member of the Club of Rome, was quoted as saying in 1996, "The total population of 250 to 300 million people is ideal. That means a reduction of 95% from present levels would be even more ideal. Anyone who abhors the China one-child policy is simply a dum-dum." In 1998, the Baltimore Sun reported on July the 7th, most of Ted Turner's first donation to the UN of $22 million went to programs that seek to stall population. Another goal of the depopulation process is that the upcoming generation will submit to sterilisation to save Mother Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, everything I've said here tonight can be verified by document searches, and it is now time for us all to take off our blinkers and encourage our neighbours to take off their blinkers. And it's also time for you to demand that every person you elect fully understands this policy that is being rolled out via local, state and federal government at a concerning rate. We're not talking about decades, we're talking about only years before this is fully implemented. And every day another law is passed, is introduced to produce the end game of Agenda 21 being fully implemented. So the question that Lord Monckton asks, carbon tax, climate change and Agenda 21, can democracy survive all three, needs to be answered, and answered now. And you need to find out from your elected members what they know of Agenda 21, and if they don't know it, educate them. And if they don't know it, then push them to understand what they are voting on in Parliament, because this is crossroads. I thank you all very much for your time and for your attention, and I would now like to take the opportunity to introduce Lord Christopher Monckton. Thank you.